Peace of Christ be with you. Couple notices. Today, we want to invite you to join others in prayer and fasting for Japan at Scott Hall Basement between 12 and 1 p.m. today and between 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. tonight. Come for as long as you are able. And tomorrow, we also want to invite you to join the International Christian Fellowship at 8 p.m. to pray at the Japanese flag outside of Martha Miller. All of you, I'm sure, are aware of what's going on there. And I just want to maybe just take a couple minutes of silence, and let's just pray for our brothers and sisters in Japan, shall we? Lord, do you know the specific needs? Be with the relief workers, the rescue workers, the doctors. Be with all the families that have lost loved ones. Be with those that are seeking to contain contaminations. Lord, there are so many needs in this world, not only in this world, but in this community. And we know that there are people right in this room that need your spirit and your healing hand. We pray for the Emerson family. We pray for Professor Kloster. We pray for all of those, Lord, who need your spirit in a special way right now. We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Everyone said, amen. Also, one more notice. We've also got a sign-up for small group leaders. So application deadline is Monday, April 4, FYI. Raise your hand now if you're going somewhere for spring break. Yeah? Shout it out. Tell me where you're going. You're on a journey. Raise your hand if you're excited about spring break. Yes. It is spring break time at Hope College. A lot of you are journeying on athletic teams. Some of you are journeying on immersion trips. Some of you are just journeying home. And journeying is appropriate, I think, this time of year. And because even if you're staying here on campus, you're still invited to a journey. And that journey, what we commemorated last week as we stepped into Lent, is exactly what Lent is. Lent is a journey. Lent is a journey toward God. Oh, I'm trying a new thing. I'm hoping it works. There we go. Lent is a journey towards God. It's a season in the church's life and rhythm. When we take a step back, we take stock. Lent is kind of a spring cleaning for the soul. And anyone who's experienced on a journey knows that when you're traveling, you want to travel light. You don't want a lot of excess baggage with you as you travel down that path. Lent is that time of the year when we take a step back and we give some inventory to our lives. We go into our kind of soul's closet and we start taking out all of that old self, all of those old outfits that just don't seem to fit anymore, so that we can put on the new self, which is Jesus Christ himself. And as we put that on, we find ourselves traveling a little bit lighter along the way. One of the verses that I've been chewing on for Lent is what I preached on last Sunday from Colossians 3, chapter 5. Paul writes this: put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly, fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. I think that's a perfect verse for Lent. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly. And again, this Paul is not talking about the physical world. He's talking about those disordered souls within us, that sin within us that needs to be strangled. To put something to death is not to give it any life, not to give it any breath, not to give it any opportunity to disrupt your life. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly. Now, often when we get one of these kind of grocery list of sins, we immediately want to like focus in on, like, let's talk about fornication. I'd really like to talk about impurity. Why? Well, mostly because we're a sexually obsessed culture, and we like to think about sex. We like to talk about sex, and so we instantly hear this grocery list, and that's where our attention goes. But this morning, I want to pay attention to a different word that catches my attention, and it's one that I think we often skim over in the church. And that's the word greed. Put to death, therefore, greed. If you're going to journey with God in this life, I think that we have to do some soul inventory about greed. Greed is fundamentally a spiritual disorder. The Bible, Paul in the Bible, calls greed the equivalent of idolatry. Idolatry is what happens when we put anything in front of God that we worship, anything that we serve instead of God. The Bible is very, very clear about money. It's very clear about what money can do to the soul. Greed is fundamentally a distrust in God. We actually don't believe that God is going to provide for us, that the creation can't regenerate enough to provide for the needs of this world. And so we try to accumulate more and more and more, and we can't get enough. And before we know it, we've got a garage attached to a house. More and more stuff accumulates because we think we got to have this in order to fulfill something in our life that is missing. But fundamentally, what's behind greed, it is a desire for us to take control, which is at the heart of idolatry. We actually don't want God to be in control of our lives, so we construct organizations and we construct systems in order to get more and more things. Greed. Greed is at the heart of so much horror and pain and fragmentation in this world. And it's not just now. Obviously, it was an issue back then. 2 millennia ago, Paul is writing to Christians in Colossae saying, don't be greedy. Put to death, therefore, that instinct that is greedy. Well, we've introduced in Lent that each one of us as chaplains is going to take on a spiritual discipline to talk about. And the reason why I'm thinking about greed is that my spiritual discipline that I want to talk about, that's Jesus. You can never serve two masters. Yes, we're just skipping by Jesus real quick. What spiritual discipline is an antidote to greed? And that's what I want to talk about this morning. And that is the spiritual discipline of simplicity. Simplicity. Simplicity is one of those really simple words that is easy to say but hard to live out. And I've been thinking about simplicity a lot because I'm now a father, and I have this 19-month-old son. And I don't know if you know this, but kids now, they come with accessories. They accessorize everything. We've got all of this. I feel like an alien has absolutely taken over my living room. I have no idea where all this stuff came from. We got friends, and we've got parents, and we want to provide for our son. And the more accumulate, the more I'm asking myself, what are we teaching little Trigvi? Are we teaching him to accumulate more and more things? And so during Lent, Kristen and I are trying to think through the spiritual discipline of simplicity. Now, simplicity is an inward reality that results in an outward lifestyle. Simplicity is an inward reality that translates into an outward lifestyle. What we need fundamentally is an inward reality, a divine center. Right after Jesus says, you cannot serve two masters, for a slave will love the one and hate the other and be devoted to the one or despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Right after Jesus says that, Jesus says this. He says, strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. He just got done talking about, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about your clothing. Don't worry about where you're going to get fed. Don't worry about all of these provisions. God is going to provide. Don't be a slave to money. Don't commit idolatry. Don't think that you're going to be able to muster enough to take the place of God in your life. And Jesus says this, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's about an inward reality, an orientation of what your life is about, that your life is about God. Your life is about the kingdom of God, of striving for this, of seeking for this in everything that you do. That's what Lent is about. It's a journey to prepare us for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And on that journey, you want to travel light. You can't take things with you. It's about the soul. It's about enlarging the soul. We want to be a people that is traveling light. We want to be a people that have an inward reality, but that inward reality results in an outward lifestyle. An outward lifestyle is taking it home, putting hands and feet on this. A spiritual discipline is just that. It's a discipline. It doesn't necessarily come easy. It's not easy to put to death old habits. It's not easy to put to death greed. And so we need practices in our life that help structure that, to help choke the life out of greed so that something else can live. Because that's a fundamental gospel principle. Sometimes you got to say no to lots of things in order to say yes to the best things. We say no to a lifestyle of greed so that we can say yes to the kingdom of God, so that we can travel much more quickly along that narrow path. And along that narrow path is a lifestyle. Now, what does that look like? Well, for me, that looks like Trigvi's top five simplicity things that I'm trying to think through these days. The first thing is to share and give away. Tyler Durden in Fight Club was absolutely right. The things that you own actually own you, right? Give things away. Deaccumulate your life. If you've got more than one coat, give it away. If you don't need to keep buying more and more things, you can share them with each other. We've got a backyard neighbor where we share lawn equipment. We don't need to replicate the lawnmowers because we can share these together. Share and give away. Great spiritual advice if you're feeling clutter, clean your room. I'm actually not very good at this, but this is why it's a discipline, is that sometimes simplifying your life is simply getting organized. The first thing that we know about God is that he speaks into chaos and he begins to order the mess. Let there be light, says God, and there was light. Clean your room. Buy only what I need and pay as you go. Buy only what you need. Before you go out and buy something or order something online, ask yourself, do you really, really need this? Do I need this to exist? And if you don't, pass. And if you do, don't pay with credit. I think simplicity, the art of simplicity, is learning to pay as you go, learning to save, to have some delayed gratification. There's some great joy that happens with that kind of practice. Pay as you go and buy only what you need. Fourth, and this is, I think, one of the best ways to practice simplicity, enjoy what's free. Have you lately taken a walk outside at night and marveled at the stars and felt the wind on your cheek? Have you taken a walk with a friend? Have you checked a book out from the library? Enjoy things that are free, that you don't have to own yourself, and share those things with you. Life is full of lots of free gifts and surprises, but you have to look around and you have to enjoy those. And the more things you enjoy that are free, the less things you have to spend your money to buy, and the lighter you can travel. So I'm trying to enjoy the things that are free. And the final thing I'm trying to do is avoid soul distractions. You know, one of my distractions is that I like to watch Hulu before I go to bed. Does anyone? I am all caught up on Friday Night Lights. Love it. But here's the rhythm. I get into bed and I turn on the TV basically to shut off my brain, right? It helps me fall asleep. And Kristen and I get sucked into a show and we're sitting there and watching. And this has just kind of become a rhythm. And the other night, Kristen said, you know, Trig, would you be willing to not watch Hulu? Would you not put on a movie tonight? It might help me read scripture and pray together. And I realize how much time our marriage is wasted watching Hulu when we could have been praying together. We could have been reading scripture together. So one of my Lenten disciplines for simplicity is to not give my soul a lot of distractions of meaningless entertainment when I could actually be doing something that magnifies my soul. I can be studying the Word. I can be reading. I can be praying. All of these things are free. And they don't distract my soul. They actually get my soul focused on the right things, on the kingdom of God and his righteousness. My friends, it's about time to go. It's time to begin your journey. It's time for you to launch off, whether you're going home or even if you're staying on campus, whether you're going on an athletic trip or you're going on a choir trip or whether you're going on an immersion trip or you're just going. Wherever you go, go on your journey and travel light. Go with God in such a way that God is in your life and that others can see your life and its good works and give glory to God in heaven. As you go, my friends, travel safe. Take care of each other. Take care of the neighbor around you. And above all, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Amen? Amen. Go in peace, my friends.